mine and yours. And you don't want no pressure, what but a backup and withdrawal. Cause trust me when I tell you, you don't want that you can crawl. And you don't want to see inside of my... Chapter 9. Dark. Zuko coughed and rolled over, staring blearily up at a sky full of stars. No sign of the crown or the wheel among the constellations. Couldn't be too far north or south then. But I'm not in Ba Sing Se anymore, am I? Uneasily, he summoned a flame for a look around. Nothing. That won't work here, you know. That voice. He knew that voice and that face. As the young man in a Fire Nation uniform stepped out of the shadows of a tree. But it wasn't possible. It's been a while, cousin. The voice and the smile, so much like Uncle's. He was crying as he hit outstretched arms. And for once, just once, he didn't care. Luten! It's okay, Zuko. I've got you. I won't let you fall. Luten let him cry himself out, rocking him gently, waited until his breath hitched and Zuko scrubbed his tears away. How is he? Luten asked quietly. Uncle. He's okay. He misses you. Zuko swallowed hard. He's going to be so angry at me. I promised to stay. I tried and failed. Again. Zuko! Luten gripped his shoulders. Calm down. You're not dead yet. But you're here, yes, but you're not dead. The spirit world doesn't make sense. Uncle, it should be Uncle here. Uncle would understand why the world had gone crazy. Uncle should get to see Luten, not him. Zuko, focus. Luten bent a quiet smile his way. Trust me, it's not your fault things turned out like this. You're stubborn. It runs in the family. You'll find a way out. Here, just where is... Zuko swallowed, seeing a tree, the hill, the great wall in the distance. This is your grave. Well, it's convenient. We're not tied to them, but it makes some things simpler. Luten glanced around. We need to get you back, and I don't think I can do it alone. Gold eyes fixed on his. Do you know anyone else here who would help you? Here? Zuko managed. I know a Kamui who wants to tear my throat out, but... He caught that hint of a smirk, not nearly as subtle as Uncle's. You knew! I did get to see that, Luten admitted, grinning. You two were fantastic. He ruffled Zuko's hair. Who'd have thought the kid who was always tripping over himself could get that good? And what a show! Fire, drama, vengeance! He winked. And on top of all of that, I got to hang out with a lovely girl. Ping, Zuko breathed. Ping Lu Yu. The world shifted. And they were walking beside a cairn of rocks, where an Earth Kingdom girl, barely his age, sat singing to a cooing, gold-eyed infant. She looked up at them and smiled. Luten! Her smile shifted, more bittersweet. Hello, Lee. He sat down beside her. It seemed like the right thing to do. I'm sorry. It wasn't your fault. Her smile was pretty, but sad. Not everything is, you know. I wish I could have been there, Zuko blurted out. I wish I could have helped. You saved my mother, Ping said plainly. You saved Asahi. The world is broken, but you've never stopped trying. That's bravely. It matters. My name's not... Isn't it? She touched his lips for silence and smiled past him at Luten. So, someone's interfering? Heavy-handed, but they probably figured this was the only shot they'd get, Luten said wryly. Why? I'm not the Avatar! Zuko growled. Why do the spirits want to tamper with my life? Isn't it bad enough already? Why are you laughing? Still snickering, Luten shook his head. Zuko, you give spirits a headache. What? Sozin broke apart the world and we've been paying for it ever since, Luten said seriously. He twisted destinies, and so ours have been twisted, and a lot of spirits were satisfied with that. They don't really get humans, a lot of them. So as long as we suffer, they think they fix the problem. They don't get why it keeps getting worse. He smiled. But you? You fight destiny. They throw something at you, it bounces off, or you cut your way through it. Or it does stick and you keep going anyway until you walk it into the ground begging for mercy. You are Fire Nation. You don't quit. He looked about then, apparently considering something. Sometimes you have to go back to go forward. We have fire and earth. Gold eyes met his, sober again. Who do you know in the water tribes? No one I'd want to meet here. Zuko had fought water tribe warriors before he'd ever visited Katara's little village. North or south, they didn't care if his ship wasn't part of the war. It was Fire Nation, and that was all that mattered. He'd fought and he'd killed. His men deserved no less. There's no one who would help you? Luten said quietly. No one who ever has? Katara. Stones blurred into ice and snow. This doesn't look good. Not the small igloo and tent village he remembered. This was a town, the ruins of one, still smoldering, once safe behind carved walls of ice. Not as grand as the North Pole, but it didn't look anything like where he'd found Sokka and the Avatar. It wouldn't. A woman's voice, forbidding as an ice cliff. You destroyed this place long ago. He spun around, looking for the voice's owner. I've never been here. Blue and white furs stepped out of blowing snow. A dark-haired water tribe woman, about his mother's age, with pale blue eyes, restless as winter. The Fire Nation was, she said coldly. And you are the Fire Nation, aren't you, Prince Zuko? My throne, my country, my honor. And yet, I didn't do this. There are many things you haven't done. Blue eyes flashed. What have you done besides hunt my children across the very world? You kill and burn and destroy. Nothing stops you from getting what you want. Nothing but my children who put themselves between the Avatar and harm. What makes you different from the rest of your murdering kind? What gives you the right to ask anything of me? Zuko stiffened and glared right back. Nothing. Cousin, Luten murmured. Zuko shook his head. This is my fight. If I hadn't hunted them, Zhao would have. Without anyone interfering, if I hadn't chased them... And I don't want to kill them, no matter how annoying your son is. Someone would have wiped them out of the world with a fire blast months ago. Gold eyes narrowed. But you don't care what I haven't done. And I thought you were going to try to convince me. The tilt of her head was so familiar he half expected to be buried in ice. I know you, Zuko realized. I know enough. I don't have to convince you. A prince's arrogance. She gave him a dark look. I'm not surprised. You're Katara's mother. It's not arrogance. Not if you're right. She does what's right, even when it's hard, even when she hates you. He met her glare for glare. I'm not supposed to be here. No, you are not. The cold wind died, and she looked him up and down. But I won't help. I know what you're trying. You're ahead of me, then. Spirits, you're one short. Who are you going to find? Fire, earth, water, air. Zuko swallowed and shook his head. I don't know. It's not an easy question, Lu Ten allowed. But the past isn't as far away as people think. Not when there are those who still remember. Kuzan, Zuko breathed. Kuzan of Byakko, he'd know somebody. Where can I find him? I can't tell you. Laughter in gold eyes, faint and rueful, but definitely laughter. Can't or won't? Zuko demanded. Both, Lu Ten admitted. I already told you, you're not dead. Some things you just can't know. So close. So close. And it was all going to fall apart. Like everything else he tried fell apart. No, I am not going to die on Uncle. Not here. Not this way. Reading the constellations above, he started walking north. Zuko? Lu Ten, beside him, easy as breathing. You were at Ba Sing Se. Ping was at her cairn. Katara's mother was at her grave. Knuckles white, he headed for the ocean. I'm going to the Southern Air Temple. Even if I have to swim. Ice mist blurred, and he was standing on a wind-swept mountainside. Lu Ten's fingers brushed his hair, faint as a breath of wind. This is as far as we can take you, he murmured. Without someone to search for, you have to get there on your own. Wind blew, and he was gone. Don't worry, Zuko muttered. I'm used to it. Eyes picking away over sheer rock, he started climbing. No gear, no backup, no plan. Not like it was the first time. For a world of spirits, it felt real enough. Rocks tore at him, air got thinner, biting at his lungs. Muscles trembled and weakened, pushed to their limits. How did anyone ever live up here? But every time he'd thought he'd made real progress up the slopes, the cliff fell away, up, in an arc even the Avatar's lemur couldn't have climbed. Which was not like real mountains. At all. Right, not like spirits have to play fair. Thunder rumbled, as if the sky itself smirked at him. Of course. He'd seen storms sweep up the mountains at home. He knew how fast they moved. It was still impossible. One moment, only the downblast of wind. The next, a flood of rain, weakening holds already slipping from torn fingers, howling wind prying his body away from ragged stone. Thunder cracked, lightning shattering a cliff near enough to shower him with stones. Is that all you've got? The storm darkened, thickened, lightning flashing from cloud top to cloud top like the sky cracking its knuckles. Why'd you stop there? Digging his fingers into bare cracks, Zuko glared at the sky. You've always thrown everything you could at me. Well, I can take it. Come on, strike me. You've never held back before. The storm howled. Stones gave way. He was slipping. Worn fingers caught his and pulled. Gently, my young friend. You've had a busy day. He sounded like Aang. Sort of. If Aang had made it to 80 and had some sense knocked into him. Zuko blinked and looked up. A vaulted ceiling. No storm in sight. But we were just... Spirit world. Doesn't have to make sense. Daring, he looked at his rescuer. Shaved head. Long white mustaches. Yellow and orange robe. Airbender tattoos. A very long day. The monk chuckled softly. But here you are. With love, compassion, and honor. Zuko stared. Turned and looked back. Behind him, Lu Ten winked back at him, one arm wrapped around Ping's shoulders. Beside them, the Water Tribe woman rolled her eyes. Unsettled, Zuko looked back at the airbender, in time to see one white brow go up in curiosity. Friends and allies are the greatest of treasures, the monk said plainly. What more could you need? Truth, Zuko blurted out. How do I get out of here? Why did I end up here in the first place? He swallowed, mouth dry. Why aren't you angry with me? Should I be? Under the mildness, gray eyes were sharp. Have you broken your promise? Which one? I don't think so, Zuko said warily. No, you have not. The monk nodded in satisfaction. And as I recall, you never promised to be gentle. Drag him home by the scruff of the neck and make him apologize for scaring us like that, I believe you said. What? You're confusing me with someone else. That is possible, the airbender nodded. Many things are possible, even promises that last a lifetime and beyond. A knowing wink. Sometimes the spirits remember those, when it is to their advantage. You should play pie show with Uncle, Zuko muttered. I don't need cons, I need answers. Ah, but to find your answers, first you must find the right questions. The monk smiled, waving off hints of imminent explosion. But I forget how much need fire has for haste. I do not hate you. I would even say that I am greatly in your debt. I may have taught Aang to master air, but I also loved him. And some things one who loves as a father cannot easily teach a young son. That the world can be cruel, that people may hate without cause or reason, that evil can come in a friendly guise. He met Zuko's gaze, stern as the mountains. That even one who seems your most fearsome enemy may act with honor and justice. Zuko stiffened but held his ground. I did what I had to do. And that is a truth my young pupil had not faced, the monk said evenly. It was not a kind lesson, nor one easy to watch, but I love Aang too much to deny that he needed it. White-wreathed lips quirked in a smile. You may have detected a bit of flightiness in the boy. Never would have noticed, Zuko deadpanned. The monk broke up in laughter. I see your sense of humor hasn't changed. I'm not who you think I am, Zuko insisted. I don't know you. Oh, then it would seem my manners are lacking. He bowed. I am Gyatso. This is a bad idea. A really, really bad idea. But Zuko forced himself to return the bow. My name is Zuko, son of Ursa and Fire Lord Ozai. And this is the end. Nephew of Iroh, and grandson of Azulon, among others. Gyatso nodded. A fact someone has taken shameless advantage of, I think. Moonlight shone through the vaulted hall, and she was there.
So he found you.
Did you think he wouldn't? The Water Tribe woman said dryly. He's Fire Nation. They finish what they start. A bittersweet smile. Or they try to.
It was a necessary risk.
The white-robed princess almost touched the floor, white hair flowing like water.
Your uncle asked a question. There was a division on the answer. It could not be decided. It is still undecided. The Avatar is human as well as spirit. He will do what he will do.
She floated closer.
But you have acted to restore the balance, even when you could have passed by. And so you have earned my answer.
Glowing fingers touched his forehead, and the ocean dragged him down.
This cannot be happening. Zuko was frozen on the floor, heart like stone within him, as Amaya frantically tried to revive the boy in his arms. Mushi wrapped around himself like a sheath of cool silk. But he could not care. This could not be happening. Not again. They'd come so far, tried so hard. The world could not be so cruel. Not twice. Zuko spasmed in his arms, coughing up water. What in the world? Questions later. He helped the boy twist, supported him as Zuko choked out enough liquid to drown an ostrich horse, much less an underfed teenager.
Twi and La, Amaya breathed, blue eyes round. How?
Twi and La, Iroh said grimly. Indeed. Thumped Zuko hard on the back, helping him clear the last froth out. He could see the faint glow fading from the water as it lingered on the floor.
My nephew seems to attract the spirit's attention, and not in a pleasant way.
He lowered his voice.
Lee? Yue said, you asked a question.
Zuko breathed harshly, ragged as if he'd been dragged up from deep water.
Not sure I can live through another answer, uncle.
Yue? Iroh frowned darkly and briefly entertained the notion of a koi fish dinner. That Zuko's life would never be easy, he could accept. That a spirit would strike his nephew to get at him? That went beyond even the spirit's stern justice into cruelty. Wait, he reminded himself sternly, as Amaya ran her hands over his nephew to heal the inexplicable marks of drowning in deep water. The spirit's messages are not always clear. Wait and see what occurs.
Ping thinks Lu Ten's cute.
Iroh blinked, shook his head to clear his ears. He couldn't have heard what he thought he'd just heard, could he?
Nephew? Don't go. I am right here.
Iroh said gently, as Zuko's grip slipped into unconsciousness.
I will not leave you.
Soberly, he looked at Amaya.
He's resting, the healer said as she stood, still shaken. This has never happened before.
She cut herself off and bent to feel Zuko's forehead.
And now he has a fever. I don't know why.
It is not a physical illness, I think.
Iroh frowned at the ghostly dragons entwined around his nephew, snapping and snarling. A larger red dragon and a smaller, younger moon white. Somehow, he wasn't surprised. He might be handling the not-quite-other that was Mushi, but he was older, more stable. He knew who he was and what he wanted. Zuko was still trying to find out. Reaching over, he tapped on Misty Scales.
Stop that at once, both of you.
Startled, they looked at him.
Fight on, and one of you may win, Iroh said bluntly. But he will have lost something precious to him. To all of us. Strive together instead. Lean on each other. Learn from each other. You are not enemies. You are my beloved nephew. You always will be.
Abashed, the red dragon licked a wound on the white. Gold eyes closed, and they faded.
I'm going to hate myself for asking,
Huojin said reluctantly.
But what just happened? Lady Amaya's healing does touch the spirit,
Iroh said frankly,
and my nephew was already divided against himself. I merely needed to remind him of the greater whole.
He raised a gray brow.
That was the fever. As for the water, I have a tale you may wish to hear.
He paused.
And you may not wish to be sober.
Luli's gonna give me a look when I get home, Huojin thought ruefully, cradling a cup of tea in his hands as he pictured his wife's cheerful exasperation. Not that she'd be too angry. A guard's hours were never straight from the clock, and the midnight to morning shift was one of the worst. She knew that, and they made it work. Besides, the hair still hadn't settled down on his neck since Lee'd drowned back down there in the basement. If some kind of trouble had just moved into the lower ring, he had to know about it. Tucking Lee under a blanket on a
borrowed futon, Mushi drew the screen closed around his nephew, shutting him into a corner of Amaya's small dining room, sighed and picked up his cup of tea.
Thank you, Lady Amaya.
Amaya, the healer said plainly, I have a feeling we may be seeing much of each other.
She sipped her cup.
I've never met another bender who could sense the spirits at work.
It was an unexpected gift,
Mushi said humbly,
and not always a welcome one. But we may be meeting for more than that.
Crossing to a wall sconce, he pinched an oil lamp alight and brought it back to the table with him.
I believe my nephew left you somewhat bruised.
Don't worry about it. I've had worse.
Words died in Huojin's throat as Mushi moved his hands about the flame, and the fire changed. Hands wreathed in burning green, Mushi bent to run fire over his aching knee. Warmth washed through the joint, washing pain away. Sparks dying around his hands, Mushi straightened.
Lee is much better at this than I am.
He regarded them both.
My nephew is not a waterbender, but he is a healer.
A healer? A firebender is a healer? Huojin thought, stunned. Two firebenders. And how had firebenders managed to flee their nation and survive? Amaya looked as if she wished her tea had been spiked.
Perhaps you should start from the beginning.
Mushi inclined his head.
I have not been to war in many years, true. But forgive me, Lady Amaya. It was known that I studied waterbenders. So when Admiral Zhao decided to invade the North Pole, where the Avatar had taken shelter, let us say I was invited to come along.
My tribe,
Amaya whispered, pale. The Avatar? Huojin got out. He didn't care if his voice squeaked. The Avatar was a myth, a story for children. No one had seen him. No one had seen him for 100 years.
Yes, Mushi nodded, bent a look of warm understanding on Amaya. They took losses, but they survived. Zhao overreached himself. He invaded and did a great deal of damage, but his goal was more proud than that. More proud and more evil.
He drew a breath.
You may have noticed when the moon went dark.
Spirits.
Amaya's hand pressed over her breast.
Tui and La.
Zhao found their mortal forms and struck,
Mushi said heavily.
I could not stop him, not in time. But the moon had given some of her life to Princess Yue, and that brave girl gave it back.
He shook his head.
And the Avatar, together with the outraged ocean, destroyed the entire Fire Navy and fleet.
A wry smile.
Lee and I spent 3 very long weeks on a raft, praying we would reach land somewhere safe.
If he hadn't already been sitting down, Huojin had a feeling he would have become forcibly reacquainted with Amaya's floor. Spirits. Spirits getting killed. The Avatar. A whole fleet sunk. That was...
He shook his head violently and concentrated on details.
Lee's too young to be a soldier.
He is, Mushi agreed. I snuck him on board. It was not safe for him to remain where we had been. Not that it was much safer for him with me, he allowed. The ocean spirit appears to have very poor aim. When it took Zhao, well, I am grateful Lee is dedicated to his training. He ducked.
Ducked,
Huojin repeated numbly.
I did mention some spirits are not fond of my nephew.
Right.
Sure, he knew about the small Kamui that appeared in Ba Sing Se. The item spirits, the two-tailed cat owls, the other small creatures of mischief. But the ocean and the moon? When, exactly, had the world stopped making sense?
When you saw a teenager drown on dry land. In any event, we did reach territory held by the Fire Nation, Mushi went on. We thought we had found safety. We were, unfortunately, mistaken. He paused a moment, obviously choosing his words. You do not wish to know our names. That is likely wise. But I will tell you that for my actions against Zhao, I have been declared a traitor to the Dragon Throne, and Li with me. Another pause. And did they know what we are capable of? Of what Li found himself capable of in our flight, there would be nowhere in the world we could hide. Because you can heal? Huojin shook his head, appalled. He didn't hate his own people. He didn't. But the Fire Lord spirits. Because of how they heal. Amaya regarded Mushi with interest. You are not like other firebenders. The teaching of Fire Lords Sozin and Azulon are that fire comes from the darker emotions, Mushi said seriously. Hate, pain, anger, all things that have twisted our nation and our spirits. But to heal, one must care. And with that caring, one learns the fire can come from compassion, love, even righteous fury, that will defend the innocent to the death. True firebending, the teaching of the dragons, comes from life itself. What we can do, what we are, our very existence proves the Fire Lord is wrong. And to defy the will of the Fire Lord is treason, Huojin finished for him. Even so. So, spirits, there was no polite way to say this. Why aren't you dead? Mushi smiled wryly.
I was under the command of Fire Lord Azulon. After he died, you left the colonies at 6. Then perhaps you do not know it is customary for those of noble blood to pay formal visits to the new Fire Lord and assure him of their loyalty. He chuckled. As my brother's loyalty is beyond question, Fire Lord Ozai neglected to see that I appeared.
There was more to it than that. Huojin could feel it. But I don't think I need to know. Still, there was something Mushi was leaving out that he did need to know. If his stunned brain could just focus on what. You've kidnapped the boy from his father, Amaya said levelly.
Ah, yeah, that would be it.
In a way, yes, Mushi admitted. Paused again, not in the calculated manner of a man choosing his words, but the silent ache of looking into painful memory.
3 years ago, my brother declared Li a failure and a disgrace. He has traveled with me ever since. Much as it pains me to say, the only reason my brother would care that Li is with me is that I am between the boy and those who wish him harm.
Huojin recoiled. His own father?
The power of our nobles rests not merely on blood, but on bending, Mushi said seriously. Most firebenders show their first sparks by 4. 5 at the latest. 6 is very late.
A quiet sigh.
Li did not bend a flame until he was 8.
Not good? Huojin asked Amaya. He might be Fire Nation by blood, but she knew bending.
The Northern Tribe counts blood more than bending in its politics, she said with a trace of old bitterness. But no, it isn't. 4 years, Huojin. Imagine a proud man, a proud firebender, who lives through 4 years of having his heir considered useless by those in power. 4 years of whispers and veiled threats, all by the courtiers around him. She hugged herself, as if feeling a chill off polar ice. I am not the first woman of the tribe to flee the power games. I doubt I'll be the last.
Forcing her arm straight, she glanced at Mushi.
But if Li is your brother's heir, there is another child.
Of course, Amaya said, bitterness turning sad.
A stronger bender.
Ah!
That I would not be so certain of, Mushi said thoughtfully. Li has always struggled with his bending, yes. He has spent years learning moves others soar through easily. Only time, dedication, and unerring practice has given him the skill he now possesses. Mushi pauses. In Sozin's style. Huojin looked between them, as green eyes met blue. There was something being said beyond their words. He wasn't sure he wanted to know. Amaya humphed. I haven't forgiven him for trying to kill me yet. I do not ask that you do, Mushi said seriously, and waited. Minutes passed, and Amaya finally sighed. A healer, and he can pass as a waterbender? After a fashion, Mushi nodded. It is more difficult to wring fire's strength from hot water, but Li can do it. From hot? Amaya's jaw dropped. Blue eyes darted towards the screen. He can do that? He can, Mushi smiled. He thought of it when a man's life rested in our hands and we dared not betray ourselves. He thought of it? Her voice was hushed, amazed. Does he know? I have been afraid to tell him. Mushi said quietly. My brother's claim that Li is a failure was very convincing. Not a bender, Huojin pointed out, trying to sort out the sudden tension in the air. Huojin. Amaya shook her head, still stunned. It would be as if I bent water out of lava. It exists, it is possible, but to do it? I had feared it might be only an uncle's kind eyes, Mushi mused. Thank you for the confirmation, Lady Amaya. Huojin eyed the screen himself. You mean he's a lot stronger than his father knows? Strength has nothing to do with it, Amaya said firmly. Li has imagination, will, determination. Blue eyes all but glowed. Not one bender in 100, not one in 1,000 has that tenacity. Mushi smiled. You, Amaya said, and it was almost a chuckle, are a sly, conniving, scheming old firebender. Mushi almost looked innocent. A healing firebender. Amaya did laugh now. Training him will be interesting. Huojin checked that he was still sitting down. You want to train him? If Luli tripped on a piece of jade rough abandoned in the mud, Amaya said wryly, wouldn't she take it home and wash it and see what might be carved from it? The healer smiled at him. You are going to be late. Well, yes. You're sure you'll be... We'll be fine, Amaya said firmly. Thank you for your help, my friend. Which was an unmistakable, see you later, don't worry about it. Huojin nodded and made his farewells. And made a mental note to swing by the clinic again in a day or so, just in case. I have a bad feeling about this. Dawn. Zuko scrunched his eyes back shut, wrinkling his nose. He hadn't felt less inclined to move since... I'm tired. Up almost 2 days straight, half drowned from following turtle seals into an impenetrable fortress, fighting his way past a suddenly master-level waterbender, dragging the Avatar through a collapsing ice sheet and a blizzard, getting buried by said waterbender again, and finally fighting for his life against a master firebender who utterly, sincerely wanted nothing more than him dead. Yeah, he'd been tired. I hurt everywhere. Not a physical ache, more a trembling exhaustion of energies, as if he'd been clinging to one spar in a typhoon, and had been pulled in just before he slipped under the waves. Get up. Get moving. Get to sunlight.
Quiet confusion, then caution flickered through his mind. Which was crazy. He was a firebender. He needed the sun. Lee is Earth Kingdom, and water. Don't rush. Get there, but don't make it obvious. A whisper. A nudge. Like the times Uncle's voice seemed to pop up in his head when he was about to do something really stupid. It was weird. Sunlight now. He'd marked the exits from Amaya's clinics automatically, just as he did going into any unknown territory. The street was not an option, but that sliding screen over there, that seemed promising. He slid back wood and paper and breathed in green. A water garden. No turtle ducks, none of the giant lotuses he'd seen in some noble's displays. A fair-sized pond, water burbling up at one end with a chuckling clarity that spoke of a source somewhere far below. Trickling out the far side into a neat herb garden. Cattails, blooming irises, and yellow water lilies spread from rocky edges to deep water. And iridescent fish, no longer than his little finger, ducked under leafy cover. Molly guppies, wild and some of the fancy breeds. How do I know that? Bossing say, that whisper nudged him again. You know, like you know where the rings are, when curfew is, how to get down to the docks without people asking too many questions. Lee, that whisper was Lee. What did she do to me? Focus. Sit in the strengthening sunlight. Breathe. It was like dropping a lit candle into a gaping chasm. Warm and welcome, but spirits, he felt so empty. Firebenders rise with the sun. Be patient. She almost killed you. Just keep breathing. A few minutes, and Uncle sat down beside him with a happy sigh. I am feeling a bit chilled myself. Amaya believes it will pass soon. I just want to soak for days. Zuko breathed more deeply, testing the flicker of fire inside him. Still a pale shadow of what it should be, but growing stronger. It was like everything washed away. Another breath. Almost everything. But you are well. Uncle's voice was calm, with only shadowy overtones of hunting down a certain waterbender with malice aforethought if he were not. Coals in a fire pot. I just need to dry things out inside. Zuko grimaced and pinched the bridge of his nose. I'm not making sense. I believe you are entitled. Iroh said tolerantly. Dealing with spirits is always unsettling. He paused. Nephew, you have not looked at me today. I'm afraid, Zuko whispered. Of what you will see? Zuko swallowed. Of what you will. Who am I, Uncle? Who? I see my beloved nephew, Iroh said quietly. Prince Zuko, son of Ursa and Fire Lord Ozai. Your eyes cannot change that. Uncle's hand rested on his shoulder. And I see Lee, whom I have grown to know and rely on through our travels. He chuckled. But perhaps I am greedy, wanting to have you both. How do you always know what to say? Zuko wondered, feeling the words just as warming as the sun. I never know what to say. Some things come with time. He could hear the smile in Iroh's voice. Be patient. You are still young. I don't want to be patient. I want... That thought seemed to tangle itself up like a pygmy puma kitten in a ball of yarn, hissing and spitting and somehow utterly ridiculous. He might want his honor back, but Lee flung up glimpses of arrogant, uniformed Earth Kingdom generals who didn't care what the Dai Li did as long as they kept order in Ba Sing Se.
It's not like that. I have a reason, a good reason.
The whispers seem to ripple, confused.
If I don't have my honor, I can't be father's heir. If I'm not, Azula is.
His people. Oh, spirits, the things she'd do to his people. And to the world.
Earth and water. Stay hidden. Deflect your opponent. He couldn't argue with that. The chances of Aang defeating the Fire Lord anytime soon ranged between slim and none, meaning it didn't matter if Azula thought she had a lock on the throne. Uncle was right. Right now, he had to focus on staying alive.
Uncle. He lunged, knowing his target would never expect it. Strong arms caught him regardless, gently returning his fierce embrace.
Zuko?
Family. He had to laugh, ruefully, as all the loose pieces inside seemed to fall into place.
I think something went wrong, Uncle. We're supposed to be Earth, tradition, enduring.
He made himself look into green without flinching. This was Uncle. Somehow that made everything all right.
I think Lee is water.
Iroh's brows went up, but he smiled back. And if it was a bit wry, Zuko couldn't blame him.
Perhaps that will be to our advantage, nephew. It does us no harm for those around us to see you as foreign, so long as they do not see what you are.
He hesitated.
Is it difficult?
It's different. Zuko pulled back, just far enough to rub his eyebrow.
It's like a flood washed everything out of your house, and you have to find things and put them back.
He had to look away.
What if I don't do it right?
Right? Iroh asked quietly.
Or the same. I am not as I was before the siege of Ba Sing Se. It is all right to change, nephew. To grow. As long as you remain rooted in your true self.
I think I already did. Zuko said quietly.
Looked up. I put you back first.
Green eyes widened.
Nephew?
When she struck you down, Zuko had to stop and breathe.
If she's doing what Father wants, then I don't want it anymore.
Iroh drew in a startled breath.
I was ordered to capture the Avatar, and I will. Alive. He needs to be stopped. Anyone who can do what he did to the fleet, he has to be stopped.
Zuko clenched his fists, trying to still their trembling.
I am not a traitor. But I won't sacrifice my people to do it, and I won't let her sacrifice them.
Calm. Just be calm.
You're my uncle. I won't let that happen to you again. I won't.
Stay calm. Think.
I know I have a hard time with my temper, but I'm going to try to bank the flame. To think.
She's an obstacle with a lot more firepower.
She expects me to attack like a firebender, straight on for the kill. If I can go around her, deflect her.
Words failed him, and he shrugged.
It is a place to start, Iroh nodded, and stood. Lady Amaya says we have a little time yet before any patient should arrive, and that we are quite unobserved.
Even drained, Zuko's heart leapt. He scrambled to his feet.
We can practice?
Gently, Iroh advised.
The chi of water is still disturbing our own.
That was fine. He didn't feel up to much beyond candle lighting. But still,
we can practice.
Iroh winked and shifted into stance. Zuko matched him, half a joyous heartbeat behind.
Breakfast, a few good cups of tea, and one nephew safely ensconced in Amaya's garden with a healing scroll and orders to soak up sunlight. That tended to. Iroh caught Amaya between patients.
We must talk.
You said you were going out to look for work.
Amaya's tone was mild,
but one dark brow arched in curiosity. "And I will," Iroh affirmed. "This will not take long, I hope." He frowned. "How much of what you have shaped in my nephew is real?"
"Almost all of it," the healer said simply. "The mask uses pieces of yourself and reshapes them as if they were formed in the Earth Kingdom.
My nephew seems convinced Lee is Water Tribe." Amaya halted mid-thought, blinked, and slowly nodded.
"I believe that does make more sense."
"Does it?"
"I checked some of my scrolls yesterday," the healer informed him. "I was searching for anything that might explain what happened. I didn't find it, but I found something else. Something I'd nearly forgotten."
She gave him a sober look.
"He was given that scar by someone he trusted."
Iroh winced, which, he knew, was answer enough.
"It's not directly on one of the chakras, but a blow there, where so many of the body's channels come together, with a massive force of chi behind it. If that wound had been dealt by a waterbender, I would have a patient with no will, no desire to live. An empty shell who would want nothing."
Iroh straightened, the dreadful meaning sinking home.
"One whose inner fire had been extinguished."
Amaya inclined her head.
"Just so."
"So my nephew
has survived surprisingly well," the healer stated. "You must care for him deeply, for him to have been able to sip that comfort."
She glanced toward the screens, blocking off the garden.
"He's had years of drought. Whatever happened, I don't know if it was the spirits or simply being that close to death. The scar is there, but the energies it blocked are beginning to flow again.
Love and family and the ability to adapt," Iroh murmured. "Considered all that, and paled."
"I would think this would be a good thing, Mushi,"
Amaya said with some asperity.
"In any other, I would agree," Iroh admitted. "But this is my nephew. If there is any way trouble can find him, it will."
Zuko sighed and shaded his eyes as chi meridians marked on the scroll seemed to swim in his vision. Sunlight might be filling the emptiness inside drop by golden drop, but the rest of him didn't seem inclined to tolerate it as well. Not today. Looking away from the brightness, he saw a cat claw of white hanging in the blue sky, and tensed. Yue. Or La, if he meant to invoke the moon spirit formally, which he didn't. But it was hard to look away. Grimacing, Zuko set the scroll safely down on the portable writing tray and walked over to the pond. He needed a distraction. Then again, reading itself would probably be going fine if practice hadn't been one long series of distractions. His movements had been right. One advantage of having had to drill the basics into his very bones. He didn't forget, but the flow of his energies had been off. Odd. Amaya says it'll settle. Be patient. On top of that, something just kept tugging at his concentration. Not Lee. At least, he didn't think it was Lee. Lee was a nudge, a whisper. Whatever was bothering him was more directional. Like the push of storm winds, the shift of a ship in waves. Push and pull. It was annoying. He crouched by the water, watching multicolored bodies flicker in and out of the sunlight. Wasn't too different from sitting on a dock, watching sea life circle and dance as tides lapped at them. No salt, though. Breathing didn't seem quite the same without it. "You lived on dry land until you were 13, Zuko growled at himself. "You can't actually miss sailing around the world chasing rumors and myths." No, not really. But the ship had been predictable. Train, hunt for a myth, deal with a crew that wanted to be there only slightly less than he did.
Stable, sane, no spirits, no avatar, no bounty on their heads. Until he'd spied an impossible light at the South Pole, and everything had gone catastrophically downhill from there. If I'd caught him then, if I'd held him then, we wouldn't be in this mess. Sighing, Zuko skimmed his fingers along the pond's surface. The past was past. He had to deal with what was, not long to chase an airbender who never so much as touched water. His hand lifted, and a thin arc of water lifted with it. What the? Splashed away and was gone, as a quick roll took him yards away from the pool. It wasn't glowing, and it hadn't been a hand, but there were fish in there, you could never be sure. Flipping to his feet in a ready stance, Zuko eyed the pond suspiciously, ready to sear it out of existence if he had to. If he even could, with spirits involved. Nothing, just the quiet murmur of water. Lee? Amaya stepped quietly into view, on the garden path. I'm breaking for lunch, if you'll join me. How far did you... She eyed him and his stance with bemused worry. Did something happen? Do you have spirits in your water? Zuko asked tersely. Not to my knowledge. The healer gave him a patient smile. A little paranoid, are you? Only because things are out to get me. You make tea? Huojin muttered under his breath, too low for the higher-ranked guard with him to hear. Not that Officer Yaozu probably would have noticed, bent on getting a steaming cup before they headed out way too early on evening duty. But better safe than sorry. They're shuffling guards around all over tonight, Huojin thought. Guess they need some extra security in the upper ring. Wonder what's going on. Not that it really mattered, so long as it stayed in the upper ring. Not his neighborhood, not his problem. Poking around up there was a quick way to bump into the Dai Li, and that was a pleasure he'd just as soon forego. Unlike tea. I do, Mushi smiled at him, gesturing the pair of them to empty seats. It is one of my life's quieter pleasures, he chuckled. And here comes one slightly louder. Huojin raised an eyebrow as Lee walked through the door, feeling a wash of interest and relief. The kid looked frazzled at the edges, short hair sticking up everywhere, and ink staining his hands and one sleeve. But that was a heck of a lot better than lying half-drowned on Amaya's futon. Well? Mushi asked. I've got an apprentice's license, Lee admitted, taking out this thin sheaf of papers long enough for Mushi to beam at it, before tucking it back under his robe. Ah, oh, very good. Tea? Lee gave him a skeptical look. Steamed leaf juice? How can one of my own family say such a thing? Shaking his head, Mushi poured Yaozu's tea. The officer picked it up, then took a second breath, sipping it slowly, and sighed. This is the best tea in the city. The secret ingredient, Mushi said expansively, is love. He walked back towards the back of the shop as Lee stifled a groan. Huojin chuckled, remembering too well what it was like to be a proud 16. Don't worry, when you get to be his age, you can embarrass your nephews too. Lee blinked, and all the color drained from his face. Would I? Oh, another child, right. Still, even if Dad likes your sibling better, why do you look like you'd rather face down a charging Dillo lion? The shop door slammed open. I'm tired of waiting! The angry teen refugee from the other day. Sheathed hook swords glinting in the shop's lights as he pointed towards Lee and Mushi. These two men are firebenders. Oh, hell. You bastard! The world seemed to shimmer through a watery haze as Jet unsheathed his swords. Zuko deliberately kept his fists from clenching.
No swords. No way he could take on someone as quick as Jet with just bare hands. Damn trained reflexes. Let his hands even start to close, training would kick in and he'd firebend right there in reflexive self-defense, which would get them both killed. Damn you, we didn't do anything to you. Why? I know they're firebenders, Jet growled. I saw the old man heating his tea. The fairy. Damn it. He works in a tea shop, Huojin's fellow guard pointed out dryly. Right, stay quiet, Zuko told himself. Let other people talk Jet down. Spirits knew he was in no shape to do it. Not after a day spent studying and then answering Amaya's exhaustive questions on what he could and couldn't do for a patient. She'd marked his triage treatment as fairly educated, his knowledge of wound care as decent, and his healing bending as remarkably good for someone working mostly on instinct. He might have been proud of that if he hadn't been so exhausted. And twitchy. Definitely twitchy. Ever since the pond. Worse since the sun went down. A lot worse. Push and pull. It was driving him crazy. And Jet wasn't helping. He's a firebender, I'm telling you, the rebel insisted. The officer looked less than impressed as Huojin rose to back him. Drop your swords, boy. Nice and easy. You'll have to defend yourself, Jet said, grim and smug at once. Then everyone will know. Go ahead. Show them what you can. Pushing and pulling, and damn it, he couldn't just stand there. Why couldn't you just leave us alone? Porcelain clattered like an earthquake, and three cups worth of tea suddenly hurled itself at Jet's face. What the? Firebender? Huojin drawled in the sudden silence. Looks more like a tea bender to me. Please let Uncle keep a straight face, Zuko prayed. That's my uncle you're calling a firebender. Are you out of your mind? I don't know what you saw, and I don't care. Zuko took the last step he needed to near Huojin's incautious, Dao-armed associate. See this? Pull the blades, separate, move. And the fight was on. Iroh clapped a hand to his forehead as more furnishings fell victim to the duel. Ordinarily, he wouldn't worry about Zuko. Rested and ready, his nephew could put most fighters of Jet's level down in less than a minute. Tired as he was, though, with his chi still upset from Amaya's waterbending, this could get tricky. How in the world did my nephew fling tea? Serve tea pretty hot here, huh? Huojin muttered, watching for any openings to separate the battling youngsters. So we do, Iroh agreed after a moment's shock. Of course, we can move fire. Tales say dragon's children could even bend lava, and that is fiery earth. Fiery water? Well, well. And wouldn't that be a most unpleasant surprise for anyone who trapped his nephew on terrain that should favor waterbenders? He could already see some tactical advantages. Crash! Oh dear. Perhaps it was just as well Zuko was not working here. That had been the front door. Damn, he's better than I thought, Zuko realized. Dao locked with Jet's swords. Between that and exhaustion and not wanting to kill the idiot, I could be in trouble. You must be getting tired of using those swords, Jet taunted. Why don't you back off and let the old man fry me? Because I'm not stupid, because my uncle is worth 10 of you, and a pygmy puma thrown in on top, because you're so wrapped up in needing to hurt someone you'd go after innocent strangers if you thought they were Fire Nation. No wonder Katara hates you. Please, son, you're confused, Iroh called out from the doorway. You don't know what you're doing. No, uncle, he does. That's the problem. In more ways than one, this was not going well. No more kid gloves. Breathe and focus and channel inner fire into a quick burst of speed, pinning one hook sword down, turn, advance, and strike. I cannot believe he ducked. At least he'd killed the damn wheat straw. Someone needs to teach that kid that regular people don't kill their problems, Huojin thought acidly, ignoring Yaozu's sputtering over his borrowed swords as he tried to figure out a way to get between two desperate fighters without killing either of them. At least Lee was desperate. The other refugee was riding such an avalanche of fury and hate, he wouldn't care if someone cut his hands off so long as he could spew his venom. You see that? The troublemaker snarled, balancing on the edge of a well. The Fire Nation is trying to silence me! Grinning suddenly, Huojin dashed back inside. Let's just hope the owner... Yes! Grabbing what he sought, he ran back out towards the fight. Think fast, kid, before someone wonders why a waterbender's not taking advantage of a well. Lee! Damn it, he's behind me. I can't... Lee! Hot and near and pulling. Spinning, he let his free hand arc out and pushed. A kettle's worth of hot tea hit Jet with the force of a fireball, blasting him down. Step in, disarm, finish. No! Foot still on Jet's wrist, Zuko stopped the Tao an inch from the teen's throat. Good. Hold him there, Huojin said briskly, moving in with iron bindings as Jet wheezed, trying to get his breath back. Left wrist secure, the guard motioned Zuko back, yanking Jet up enough to catch the teen's bruised wrist behind him in the cuffs. You're under arrest, young man. Green eyes cut back at Zuko. Drop the sword. Now. Breathing hard, Zuko nodded and laid the blade down, out of reach of Jet's feet. He trained hard to be capable of fighting even when captured. No way was he going to assume the freedom fighter hadn't picked up a few tricks. Me? Jet sputtered, dripping. They're Fire Nation! No, we're not! Zuko let some of the fury and frustration pour into his voice. You moron! You said you wanted a fresh start. Well, so did I. But if it's the only way to get an idiot like you to stop attacking my uncle... Damn it, my mother was from the Great Foggy Swamp! Dead silence in the street. He could feel the onlookers staring, aghast. Tea dragging wild brown hair into a soggy mass. Jet blinked at him. You've got to be kidding me. Do I look like I'm kidding? Jet didn't resist as Huojin hauled him to his feet. His face scrunched up in horrified disgust. You eat bugs! You have never had fried silkworms. Deprived child. Iroh gave Jet a stern look. Lee's mother was far more civilized and honorable than most people I have met anywhere. I will thank you not to insult the memory of my brother's wife. Foggy Swamp? Zuko flung up empty hands, disgusted. Now do you see why we didn't tell you? Jet seemed to slump against his bonds. No wonder you're so sneaky. It's working? Zuko glanced at the crowd, looking for traces of disbelief. I can't believe it's working. Uh-oh. He didn't need Lee's shiver to recognize the pair of Dai Li walking through the crowd, even if the uniforms hadn't been a giveaway. The way onlookers melted out of their path would have shouted they were trouble. Is there a problem? One said levelly.
I'll say there's a problem. The tea shop owner jabbed a finger towards Jet. This young man wrecked my tea shop and assaulted one of my employees.
Mistaken identity, Huojin said dryly. We've got it sorted out now. His voice hardened. Right?
I didn't think,
Jet started. You got that right. Huojin gave the Dai Li a professional smile. Thanks for the assistance, but everything seems to be under control now. He glanced at his fellow officer respectfully. Right, sir? Boy's getting off easy, the officer grumbled, attacking the finest tea maker in the city. Oh, ho, ho, Iroh chuckled. That's very sweet. Zuko wasn't sure whether to laugh or groan. The Dragon of the West, a tea maker. Two leaves in the forest. We're just simple refugees. If Uncle's happy with what he's doing while we're resting, well, don't screw it up. Zuko tried very hard not to glance back at the wreck he and Jet had made of the tea shop. Any more than you already have. Apparently, he hadn't done too badly, because the Dai Li were moving off, though not without a considering look his way. Lee. Be. Lee. He leaned on that whisper and gulped air, without any touch of breath control. Shook a little, like a new recruit, now that the battle rush was fading. Drew closer to his uncle, who was all a frightened refugee had in the world. They turned and left, and now he really did want to fall down. Later, Zuko promised himself, and hid a vindictive grin as the officer reclaimed his Tao and started hauling Jet off, abusing his prisoner's ears every step of the way. Gentlemen, Huojin raised a brow at the pair of them. If you'll step over here a moment, I have a few more questions. He should get off with a warning this time, Huojin said in an undertone after they complied. Which is just as well for all of us. The Dai Li don't usually bother questioning random troublemakers before they deal with them, but better safe than sorry. Concern swept off his face, giving way to exasperated anger. Lee, just what the hell did you think you were doing? He attacked my uncle! Zuko protested. I'm not helpless barehanded, you know, Iroh said patiently. I would have been fine if somebody recognized your form. That stopped Uncle cold. Damn, Huojin groaned, looked at Iroh with rueful sympathy. I hate to say it, but he's got a point. We do get soldiers off the outer wall down here. A few of them have been close enough to the action to notice things. Another green-eyed glare, Zuko's way. Still, we were right there. Let us handle it. That's what the guard is for. Confused, Zuko glanced at Iroh, who started to speak, stopped, and finally shook his head. It seems we are both unaware of customs that may prevail in the larger cities of the Earth Kingdom, Iroh said thoughtfully. If you would be so kind as to inform us how the guard functions in Ba Sing Se, so we may avoid any other misunderstandings. We're like the guard everywhere, I think, Huojin said wryly. We enforce the laws, investigate petty thefts, keep people from killing each other. You do? Zuko said, even more confused. This time, it was Huojin who hesitated. Looked at him. Looked back at Iroh. Is he serious? My nephew is rarely not serious, Iroh said bluntly. We are not accustomed to such protections extending to everyone. He paused, choosing his words. Some might say that those in our unpleasant position do not deserve our lives if we cannot fight to keep them. He shrugged. Besides the obvious, I believe I was 20 when I encountered my first assassination outside the shelter of my clan. Lee has not had such fortune. Huojin stared at him, turned a disbelieving gaze on Zuko. What? Zuko said crossly. The fight was over. He was tired, and no matter how low they kept their voices, there were far too many eyes on them. And he knew that look on the guard's face, knew it and drew a hiss of breath. Don't ever pity me, he bit out, low and angry. If I were better, they wouldn't dare come. If I were better, if Father loved me, Zhao would never have dared. Fists clenched, cold, he turned away. You need anything else? Let me talk to your uncle for a minute. Huojin barely waited for Lee to get out of earshot before facing Mushi head on. Assassins? He hissed, barely above a whisper.
And what the hell's the obvious? Mushi gave him a skeptical brow.
I believe you know, if you will think on it.
Agni Kai. Oh, hell. Firebenders. Benders who had the right to challenge or be challenged when the two of them went head to head. Duels that could be to wounding or death. Damn, never really thought about that. Our people here, they're just people. Most of them never wanted to hurt anyone in their lives. But firebenders, they're trying to kill all of them.
Right. Stupid question, Huojin managed, voice unsteady. But assassins? I told you it was not safe for Li to remain behind. Mushi weighed him in his gaze and sighed. Specifically because he had just survived an attempt arranged by Admiral Zhao. The man could not be allowed to learn he had failed.
You got drafted as an advisor to a man who tried to kill your nephew, and you snuck him onto the Admiral's own invasion ship and got away with it. Who are you?
He's 16, Huojin protested. The war does not care. The spirits do not care. His father does not care.
Mushi gave him a sad smile.
Thank you for your assistance. It was most clever and timely. Now I think your officer Yaozu is waiting.
He inclined his head.
Do not worry. I will see that Li rests. He is much more civilized after a good night's sleep.
Civilized, Huojin thought numbly, heading off to join Yaozu and his sullen prisoner.
Oma and Shu, how could anybody call a land where that happens to kids civilized?
Only it didn't happen to kids, from what he'd heard. Not ordinary ones. Not even ordinary firebenders. Fire Nation politics were vicious, true, but the nobles who'd earned Admiral's rank didn't try to assassinate people who couldn't possibly be a threat.
Oh, Agni.
Huojin almost tripped over a cobble left awry after some random earthbender had played with the street. A dozen little facts Mushi had dropped fell into place, and the pattern was something he should have seen a mile away.
His brother is unquestionably loyal to the Fire Lord? They're not just nobles, they're great names.
The highest class in the nation, beyond the royal family itself. Warriors, firebenders of unparalleled power, and, yes, targets of assassins. When court politics turned nastier than usual. Down to the children. Meaning the reason Li acted like he expected people were trying to kill him was that he expected people to try to kill him. And they're hiding here, in Ba Sing Se, as commoners. They're not just desperate, they're clueless.
Grimacing, Huojin ran through his likely patrol duties in his head. No help for it. He wouldn't be able to drop by the clinic until late. And this wasn't the kind of thing he could tell Amaya in a note.
Where are you taking me? Jet growled, defiance back now that Li and Mushi were out of sight.
Headquarters, Huojin said loudly, noting the pair of ragged teens slinking through the night crowds after them.
Lucky for you. Let me tell you a little about the Dai Li.